Travolting presents Bobbin for Robin. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Covering Moscow on the Hudson. Enjoy the episode.
I am what I am.
Whoa.
It's clap country. It has no copyright. National anthem of the USSR.
They can copyright it. They can...
I don't think so. Like,
they can hit you with a copyright suit.
Can we be
we
real?
Have other things going on right now.
The Red Army Choir
coming after you.
I don't think the Red Army Choir is around anymore.
You guys can just do your own rendition.
Mark, you're here waiting on your Uber. Welcome to back to Bobbin for Robin. But we're not going to count this as another official Mark Tilly.
No, Mark is just present while he waits for his Uber, and we didn't want to wait, so we started recording with him still sitting here.
People probably know what episode we did prior if they're listening
to
all these.
If they're avid listeners.
If they're avid listeners.
Sweet.
Okay, that was good.
My car's here, boys. I'll talk to you later. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. I should probably lock the door behind him when he goes. Here.
What, you think someone's going to walk in?
Hold on.
Actually, don't press it. Oh, shit. Okay, well, we're fine. All right. Stuart locked his door for those who are listening.
Hey, can we be real for a second?
Can we be real?
We're always real. We're never not
real. We're always real.
But
the
like,
show is never, we've never done bits. We're always real.
Sorry, but I have to say it.
Yes.
Yeah, that this, like the Star Spangled Banner, pales.
In comparison to the
USSR national anthem, like there is no comparison.
It's a good anthem.
It's cause like they were able to like have hindsight, you know, because it's a new like collection of countries. Right. And so they're thinking we got to make a national anthem.
Yeah.
And this is in what, 1910 or whatever the fuck.
Well, also, it's like it's steeped in the different musical traditions of the countries.
Yeah. But it's got such like a man.
Eastern Europe and Russia has a very like rich classical tradition.
Yes.
And that is where that song comes from.
Yeah.
America at the time of the Star Spangled Banner is not like a hub of, you know,
musical and
classical, like big orchestral music. It's like kind of small folk music.
Petition to redo our national anthem because
you want. Oh, say, can you see?
Hey, stop being mean to your sister.
That's the cats.
Cancer attack. Crazy.
But yeah, USSR national anthem fucking whips. Welcome back to Bobbin for Robin.
It's true.
Many people are saying this. Thank you for listening to last week's episode, The Survivors. We appreciate you guys for surviving that episode. Because that was a tough one to talk about. It is the year of 1984, 83 for filming this movie. I'm just gonna dive into the context corner right away. If that's cool, kosher with you.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is what? The president of the United
Ronald
States.
Ronald Reagan, the actor,
the actor.
It's a Back to the Future reference for all the real ones. Yeah. House.
Well, I think a lot of people have seen that movie though. So Robin Williams coming off of the Survivors.
Mork and Mindy has ended by this point.
Mork and Mindy, yes. I wanted to say that. I think I mentioned that in the Survivors episode that if it hadn't already ended, it was on its way to end.
Yeah, I think the Survivors is like basically right after Mork and Mindy ends. But Moscow and the Hudson is like firmly.
Moscow the Hudson is firmly after the end of Mork and Mindy. That's a whole parable story that I don't really feel like I need to get into. It's the same classic victim of all like television programs and old cable networking and shit. They made room for Laverne and Shirley and that was it. It was cooked in the chat. So, Robin, but you know, like Robin's still walking away from this, you know, when I say an established actor, it's like people know who he is. He is a known, he is a household name at this point. Is he a household name in the League of Thespians? No. He's still kind of in his like comedy era.
Yeah. People think of him as a comedian.
People think of him as a comedian first, actor second. And after the flop of The Survivors.
Yeah. He hasn't really had a movie be a sensation yet.
Yeah. No. And he's doing like movies pretty quickly after another. Mostly like you could say like financially speaking, like he's a working actor. But then he's also trying to, as we mentioned a few, you know, throughout this whole course, he's in that tug and pull of like trying to get movies he wants to do. Like he wants to be like seen as an actor. He wants to do interesting work, interesting projects, but
he's not like, in that league yet to command that.
And trying to like kind of fit in the pocket where it's like, he can be utilized for what he's known for being good at and his appeal and what his draw is. And then sort of tying that in with a project that he would like to be doing. I would say that Moscow on the Hudson is gearing closer to like, I think like this movie, Moscow on the Hudson, and then there's Best of Times, Club Paradise, Seize the Day, and then Good Morning Vietnam. Yeah. But I think this is getting closer to like seeing the actor behind the comedian.
Well, no one has yet figured out how to synthesize Robin Williams yet. They haven't figured out like his correct pitch.
Yeah.
He doesn't
have a correct pitch in this movie.
Popeye is that they're trying to, you know, they're just playing on the comedian side.
On the cartoonist.
World According to Garp, he's almost like just, he's doing too much of just a performance. Even though he's like very charming in that movie.
Yeah.
He's not like the blow up part of that movie. The Survivors is back to comedy. That movie just doesn't do anything. And then when we're at Moscow at the Hudson, it feels like we're back in the World According to Garp lane, where I went into this movie expecting that this was a wacky comedy.
Yeah.
About
fish out of water.
A fish out of water Russian in New York City.
Same.
That's what I went in. I was very surprised to learn that is not the movie.
It's like a love letter to like immigration into the U.S.
Yeah,
it's American Dream.
It's a movie about like the beauty of immigration making America great.
Yeah. It's a love letter to the American dream through the perspective of immigrants.
Yeah.
That is this movie through and through. And I
would even say it's less of the American dream. Because I think the movie is like in some way kind of critical of that idea.
It is.
But I think it's just so much of a love letter of like what makes America great. And in this movie's VA, better than the Soviet Union. It's not capitalism versus communism. It's not
It's
not freedom versus oppression.
Yeah.
It is purely like the melting pot idea of America.
Yeah.
That America is not all one.
Let them cook. Yeah.
Ethnicity. It's not all one social order. It is.
The cat's
losing his mind. It is a combination of every other culture, you know, put together in one melting pot, creating something new. And because are there any like white characters in this movie? White non-Russian, I should say. Sorry. I think there's like one, and it's like the manager of the Bloomingdale's. There's like one line.
Yeah.
Because otherwise this movie entirely is populated by
Black, Asian, Latino,
Italian,
Eastern
Russian.
European.
And like, this kind of a cheat because Robin Williams is a white American man.
Yeah.
But he's playing a Russian in this movie, an Eastern European immigrant. And then every other supporting role is the character is an immigrant of some sort.
And like, I listen, this episode is coming out at the end of January. So happy inauguration day, everybody.
Yeah, the Survivors came out 2 days after the inauguration.
Right. The Survivors came out. We hope you survive the inauguration.
Yeah, we're recording this episode still in the Biden administration. Here's a message from the past.
But this is here's a message from the past. You know, we live in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think if you've not had your head in a rock, you know that this country is undergoing a turbulent time for asylum seekers.
Yeah, and immigration.
And immigration and migrants. I want to focus like predominantly more on like the asylum seeker proponent of it all. Because, you know, I'm watching this movie, and this is from the perspective of somebody from the Soviet Union claiming asylum to be in the U.S. And... yeah, I don't know. Like, was that a thing in your mind watching this at all? Did it creep into your head at all? Like, just thinking about it? I don't know what to make of it in today's standards, but I was just watching it.
This movie's directed,
very topical.
This movie's directed by Paul Mazursky.
Yeah.
Who his whole, he would make, his movies were all kind of that similar ilk, where they were like dramedies, all of them about some like social issue.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of his other work, but he, movies like Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, An Unmarried Woman, Harry and Tonto, Enemy is a Love Story, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. He has directed a lot of films. All of them are in some way about like a social issue in the U.S. at the time.
Yeah.
Very of their moment. And it's very indicative of like the cyclical nature of how society, and specifically U.S. society, operates, is that these conversations that are happening in this movie are still ongoing today.
Yeah.
We exist in kind of a mirror of this time. You know, our culture operates on cycles, and we're in a very conservative time now.
Yeah.
As they were in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And we're having these conversations once again about like the role of migrants in our society and the color and
asylum seeking process. Yeah.
And how what they add to our culture.
Yeah.
We're having that conversation again about different immigrants in different places in the world. But it's a conversation that is always ongoing. It's, you know, it happened with the Irish, it happened with the Italians.
Yeah.
It's always ongoing.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, there was a moment, I think, at the beginning of the movie, which we'll talk about, that I was thinking there was almost like a part where, you know, the beginning of this movie like really like hits home, like the whole like depression aspect of like the USSR, and there's a moment I'm like, this is going to be such like a fucking Ronald Reagan capitalistic
victory
movie.
That's what I was fearing at the beginning.
But
it's critical of this idea.
But also, Paul Mazursky also did a lot of research in understanding what the climate of Russia was during that time period of people on the other side of the Iron Curtain.
Yeah,
and so like I hear that and I see that and I feel the honesty in it. Like that they're standing in line for toilet paper or like a chicken. Like those things have an authenticity to it, even though when you first watch it, at least my go-to reaction is, oh, this is going to be like such a Ronald Reagan victory movie, blah, 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 blah. But then it carries over into once, you know, they do go to New York and has those critiques of capitalist society. And yeah, it all arrives at that same point that you were making, that like the joy of this country is the melting pot and all the people that we have to share this experience with.
It's not the decadence, as you know, the Russians say when they get there, is they're impressed by American decadence.
Yeah.
That's just like a superficial joy. What ultimately they find keeps them wanting to stay in America is that there's every person you meet has an immigration story. It's a country of immigrants. Yeah, it's a good cat right there.
She's the best.
Not the one that was flipping out.
No, Piper is the one that flips out.
Yeah.
Few little tidbits of this movie. Like I said, Mazursky reached out to the Russian immigrant community and also went to Russia to do some research. You may note that, like, you know, this is from the perspective of a defecting Russian. And where this movie carries on, and this is what Mazursky says in the research, is that, you know, the bravery it takes to defect to the U.S., leaving everything you treasure and love behind. You know, that's like a major conflict for, at least in that time period, people coming from the Soviet Union to the United States. again, it just carries into the conversation that we were just having now about, you know, the modern things that we're going through today. And then the other thing to it is the Moscow scene was filmed in Munich, and Robin Williams. So as I mentioned, like, Robin's playing the movie game now at this point. He no longer has Mork and Mindy. He's still a household name. So he, and I would say he's bankable to a respectable degree for like these small budget films. This is like a sweet spot, I think, that we're touching in on this particular movie, that, you know, it's a small enough role, small enough, or not small role, but like a small enough project where they get to like play around a little bit. Now, I'm not able to find a lot of tidbits about the process Robin had in performing in this movie. All I know is that he studied like Soviet customs. He took classes in learning Russian, and he also took a lot of classes in lessons in playing the saxophone.
Yeah.
There's a few scenes where it's clear that they're cutting away from Robin for complicated bits, but for a lot of it, like, he is actually playing the saxophone.
He learned the basics, and it's important that his character is not like an exceptional saxophone player.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, to that degree, you know, Robin gets to this movie. One of the first critiques is that, and it should also be noted, like, another appeal of like putting Robin in this movie is in his stand-up career. He does a lot of bits where he speaks with accents, predominantly Russian accents.
Yes.
He also does a pretty good Scottish. He does a good Irish. He does a lot of different kinds of accents. I think, though, it is a different process when it comes to this character. Robin will say, like, you know, when they went to Munich, he like tried out his like Russian accent, and a lot of the comments like, what the fuck are you, like, Czech?
Yeah.
Polish? Like, I don't know what you're doing here. And it's also just watching the movie. He definitely like drops it a couple of times.
Yeah.
You can hear it. And I don't know.
Robin is like notoriously very good at accents as like part of his shtick, but he's usually doing them for like kind of quick bits.
Yeah.
It's usually like
for a whole movie. Like, is a whole,
all right, I am Russian guy coming in. And you're like, all right, sorry. And then he'll transition into another accent.
Yeah. Pay close attention if you do watch this movie, which I highly recommend you watch this movie.
It's good.
When he's in a dialogue scene with another actor, and that other actor has the majority of the lines, you get this a lot with his scenes with, what's his love interest, actress name in this movie? Fumbling the ball. Maria Conchita Alonso, plays, Lucia. When their scenes, like, Robin just says like, okay, yeah. Like, one word response, very Americanized. I think it's like just harder to like maintain a Russian accent for like those short spurts carried out for like a 5-page scene. So one other little bit of context I want to share about this movie before we talk about the plot. This is predominantly shot in New York with a second unit that goes out to Munich. And this is where Robin and Billy Crystal become friends.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
That's cute.
So Billy Crystal, who he had his own show by then at this point, like the Billy Crystal Show, I want to say, which was short-lived. And he was also doing a lot of stage performances. Billy Crystal, similar kind of upbringing in the sense that he's mostly known for like his comedic aspect. And so he knew Billy Crystal, I want to say, before this, but this is where they really become friends.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal was going through a harder time at this stage of his career. Like, he's not getting a lot of auditions. He's not getting a lot of calls for roles. And him and Robin would just like on Robin's time off would just go out on the street, do improv at stand-up comedy shows. And this is also after Robin and his first wife, Valerie, had their first son, Zach. And there's a notable story where like they're out on the town, and then he invites Billy to his hotel room where Valerie and Zach are staying. And Zach can't stop crying. And Robin's a new dad, and he can't figure out how to calm Zach down.
Yeah.
And the story goes that Billy Crystal here, like, he's already had two daughters, so he's pretty more experienced in the game. He's like, let me try something. So he does this little technique where he massages the back of Zach's head, and the baby calms down immediately. And the story goes from that moment on, like, Robin and Billy were like the best of friends. Like,
yeah.
He called them like you're like a wizard, man. Like, I don't know how you did that. So yeah, I Robin and Billy's relationship is a huge proponent of Robin's life. That I just wanted to mention on this particular episode because it's when he's filming this movie when their relationship really develops. Really, it's all the context I have before we get to like the how the movie does and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Sweeney. I mean, they filmed the movie in Munich instead of Russia because
obviously
you can't film. Yeah,
obviously.
Aside from that, I don't really have too much. I quite like this movie.
I do too.
I think it's maybe the best movie we talked about for Robin so far.
Yeah. 100%.
I still think it's like, to me, this is a very good 7 out of 10.
Yeah. A gentleman's 7.
Like a very good 7. But like, I think it's the most, I don't know if it's Robin's best.
It's not.
But I think like in terms of like a whole package movie, I like this a lot.
I think
we're getting close.
We're like halfway there to like Robin reaching his like peak like use in a movie where it's like he's doing like his great funny bits and then balancing that with like the heartfelt, heartwarming, sentimental guy that he is. Something, can I go on a quick little tangent here?
Yeah, go for it.
So like it's noted,
speak on this.
It's noted in like the biography. It's noted a lot of interviewers who've talked to him in the past. Like Robin is the classic like, You sit him down for an interview and talk with him and like you may get the real Robin 2% of the time.
Yeah.
I point people to go watch his first Johnny Carson appearance and it's hilarious. Robin is funny as hell. But he's answered maybe one of Johnny Carson's questions. The entire segment is just Robin doing bits and jokes and the audience having a fantastic time. At one point, he gets up and have you seen it?
No.
Oh, you should watch it. It's amazing. Like he gets up and plays a few jokes with like the camera crew and he's literally doing a stand-up routine on Johnny Carson's show.
Very good.
And but that's like one little example in a microcosm of Robin's personality that getting the real Robin, it's hard. And I think I'm trying my best, and maybe I'm out of bounds for making this side of comparison, but I think it relates to his performance as well. Robin is like getting to this part in his career where he's touching with that tug and pull back and forth. I'm like, I'm this funny Russian fish out of water guy in New York City, and I don't know what a black family is, right? And then at the same time, it's like he is telling his girlfriend that he loves her and she has her own aspirations in life and trying to battle out that. And, you know, I think you and I would agree. It's like that tug and pull isn't quite as organic as his later movies are. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if that plays any role in that Robin doesn't see himself truly, fully, internally as being like, no, I can, if I tweak and work this out in a specific way, like I can make this like believable to people.
Because he is, this is, I would say overall, mostly a serious performance.
Yeah. But I think that's like maybe the slight hindrance. It needs to be a little bit funnier. Right.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit. I it's hard to say because I do think he's quite good in this. I just think like, it's not a like, stellar, like it's a good performance. I like it, right. But it's not a stellar performance.
What's
you know?
Missing though, in your opinion? It's hard, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like,
that's my point. It's like, it's really hard to point that out.
I think the thing that's, if there's anything that's missing, it's him being like an actual Russian. Like, I think that's the thing that's missing, if we're going to be fully honest. Because like this performance requires this like threading of the needle of like a guy who is both excited to be in America, but also has this deep like wistful longing for his home country and what he left behind.
Yeah.
And like Robin is quite good and he's selling that to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's like old enough necessarily or like has had the world experiences to really understand that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a very complicated emotion.
Yeah.
And he does sell me on it. But
when he reads the note for his grandfather, like, don't you think it's like, Dead Poets Society 1991 Robin would have fucking crushed this.
Yeah.
And he doesn't in that scene. He does good.
Yeah.
Let me be very, very fucking clear. Like, he's good. But, like, we've seen, like Good Will Hunting Robin reading the note that his grandfather died would have fucking crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, like, I think you're right in that thread. That
how old is he in this? This is 84, and he was born in 51, so he's, like, 33.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks.
Which, like, yeah, it adds up. I don't know. I don't get the full... Robin just has such a, like, a cute face that a lot of the work gets done just by his face. Like, he looks like a teddy bear. You want to love him, and you want to give him a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really weaponizes that. And I mean, that is a good thing.
But I see what you're threading on here. Where yeah, it's like he's too, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Like, this is like...
No, like, I feel like that is working as a benefit to him in this movie. And it's like making up for if he's not, like, really having me feel these emotions based on the performance and more just how he looks.
Take out the acting component, take out, like, all that stuff. Like, just the story thread alone. Like, if you're comparing, like, the performance of somebody portraying, like, a 20-year-old defecting from the Soviet Union versus, like, a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
That carries a different weight to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can almost imagine the two different actors doing that and me being more compelled by the 45-year-old performance. In the sense of, like, when you have to play the role of, like, America is amazing versus I miss home. Like, that's something about, like, the idea of, like, a 45-year-old older Russian portraying that seems more compelling to me.
Yeah.
And Robin is somewhere in the middle, and I think that's maybe part of the problem. More in the middle, leaning towards the younger outlook of it all.
Yeah.
Because he starts a relationship. Yeah. He's writing about all these jobs he's getting. Yeah. He's working at McDonald's. Like, this is like, America's
amazing.
Have
a McShake.
Yeah.
And this is all to say a performance that I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
The
best.
But it's like worth kind of digging into a bit. But do we want to start going through the plot?
Yeah. We start.
Whoa. Jesus.
We start in Russia.
We
start in the Soviet Union. And Paul Mazursky is doing his best to make it look like a cold and depressing country.
Yeah.
It's this is the funniest bit. Let me off mic, I gotta tell you about it's a funny joke. And so we start off with Robin. You know what's something I really like about this movie?
What do you like?
I say this in the sense that, like, it hasn't... I think this is the real first movie. It's like, it's all Robin.
Yeah.
He's the number one on the call sheet. Like, Popeye, we go in and out of different places and out of Popeye's POV. World According to Garp, we spend some time with his mother by herself.
Garp.
Survivors, it's a two-hander. This is like, we are with Robin, womb to tomb.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Whether you think about his performance or not, like, I think that's just something that, like, he is the backbone of the whole
fucking movie.
And so we're with Robin in Russia, and it's cold, depressing. He stands in line for toilet paper. And there's one funny bit where he gets in the line. He's like, is this for toilet paper or chicken? And the lady's like, I'm not sure, but it smells good. The line does smell good. It's like, and then the guy behind her is like, it's for toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
This whole first half of this movie is predominantly in Russian. Funny enough, my girlfriend actually took a lot of Russian language courses. So she's not fluent in Russian, but she's pretty good at, like, took up to the advanced level courses in it. And I asked her, it's like, how's his, like, speaking Russian ability? And she's like, it's pretty good. Like, he's actually, like, doing a pretty good job. Like,
they said he took a crash course in Russian.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he's memorizing. And Robin, I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast. It's noted pretty early on that Robin has a photographic memory.
Yeah.
That
he can learn things pretty quick.
You know what's, you know what the funny bit on how this comes up? The times he shows up for Mork and Mindy hungover, not knowing his lines, and they hand him a script and he nails it.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's where a lot of people point back to, like, this motherfucker's got a photographic memory.
He's a magic.
Same thing for the saxophone. When he didn't know how to read music, but he knows, like, timing so well that he's an instructor be like, okay, that was great. Let's go back to bars 45 through 55 and be like, where is that?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell him that. You can tell him like, it's when you do bop, 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 bop. And it's like, oh, okay, I know that part you're talking about. He's very rhythmic in how he learns those types of things. So anywho, yeah, he's in Russia. He is a saxophone player in a circus troupe.
Yes.
Who else in the circus, Jeff?
Elia Baskin as the clown.
If you're a little confused by who that is,
can't believe you didn't have this pulled up already.
I am so fucking sorry. I'm so ashamed. The only thing that pops up is the fucking memes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is the guy.
Give me rent.
You'll get your rent when you fix this damn door.
It's the guy that says, give me rent.
Yeah.
rent.
No, Elia Baskin, the like all-timer, I am the token Russian in this movie actor.
Yes.
Because he was born in Russia and he immigrated to the United States in 1976. So he's been here for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he's usually just cast as like Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3. He's in Air Force One. He's in Austin Powers.
Token Russian.
In Transformers 3. He's in Reagan. The pickle.
He's in Reagan.
He's just like the guy who pops up in, who plays like the Soviet or the Russian in American movies.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him in this actually quite a bit.
He's pretty good. Yeah. And he has meat to chew on.
He has stuff to
do. He's not like a clown, like, oh, he has like four lines and he's gone in the movie. No, he's got meat to chew on because, you said Aaliyah?
Elia Baskin.
Elia Baskin. Girl Baskin. Sorry. Elia Baskin plays Anatoly the clown in the circus troupe. He's the one that is saying throughout this whole like first part of the movie, because him and Robin, who plays Vladimir Ivanov, and he's telling Robin, it's like, I want to defect. When we go to America to perform in New York, I'm going to defect there.
Yeah.
And Robin is like, oh, you're crazy. They're going to hunt you down. Think about your family. You're putting people at risk. And that's essentially their dynamic at that point. We get a quick scene where Robin is with his family. I think maybe this is what we could have maybe used a little bit more of, is we don't get a lot of family time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it seems like if the whole point of the movie is that he's excited to be in America, but he's missing what he has back at home. We need to see.
There's basically, I don't know anything about his little sister or his parents. His grandfather's a comedian. I know that. And I know he has sex at one point with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Who's very quick to dump into the wayside.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really addressed.
He just leaves her immediately.
Well, are they boyfriend, girlfriend? Or are they like fuck buddies? Like,
it's unclear.
It's unclear.
Because the movie's going to just skip past it quick.
Yeah. So, I honestly, the thing I'm going to say next is they go to New York, like, because this first part, it's like maybe 15, 20 minutes of the movie, if even, but like not a lot really happens. All just establishing the horrible life in Russia. And so they go to New York, they're on a tour bus and they're going around. Robin, they have like a charity event where this is the reveal where they're being followed by KGB agents to make sure they're not like defecting or whatever. One of the KGB agents, a little bit of trivia here, Savely Kramarov, who plays Boris, was actually a USSR defector.
Oh, cool.
He defected to the US. He was a longtime Russian actor, had to pretty much start over. And this is his first American role.
It's very cool. And especially at the end of the movie when he's like,
I defected. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I defected.
Yeah. So they're having the time of their life in America. And then we go to Bloomingdale's. Am I skipping past anything like crucial?
No. Important? Well, first they go to they do their circus in New York.
Wouldn't have known that.
Their circus is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we see is the clown.
Right.
Elia Baskin does his little clown bit. I don't know. I just like saying that Elia Baskin does a clown bit.
Well, and there's like the moment where like the smoke is pluming from his like clown car and the KGB agents think this is when he's going to make a break for it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
And so the next scene, they go to Bloomingdale's.
What's fun about this point is you expect like Elia Baskin is going to make a break for it. And somehow Robin's going to get caught up in the middle of this.
Right.
But the fun inversion is that when they go to the Bloomingdale's, Robin is so like swept up in
that you can buy things. Yeah, he's just like free willy nilly.
He's just so impressed by, like, for lack of a better term, the decadence of America.
Yeah.
And the amount of and the variety of people here that he just on a whim decides I want to defect. And he whispers to a security guard, I want to defect.
Yeah, he whispers to security guard, who will be a titular
and,
role.
Yeah, and then named Lionel.
Lionel Witherspoon, then, played by
and then there's parents. Like the clerk, it says, oh, I think he's trying to defect. And then a chase scene ensues, yeah, where our two KGB agents are chasing Robin.
This is the definition of Robin being sweaty.
Yeah, chasing him through the Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
He eventually hides at the like the perfume counter.
Yeah.
Underneath Lucia.
Lucia Lombardo, that's the character name, played by Maria Conchita Alonso.
Who is supposed to be a Italian immigrant.
Yes.
Played by a Cuban actress.
Yes.
But it's fine.
That's, let's say, like, yeah, the movie chock full of...
Yeah. But he hides, like, under her skirt, essentially.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of that in this movie.
But then the police are alerted.
Yes, and there's a whole newscaster outside. This is apparently a big deal that somebody is defecting
inside of the Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
Which it would be.
Right.
It's a Soviet guy.
Yeah.
And so the KGB agents like run up to him. Lionel jumps in the way and kind of protects him for the moment until the police arrive.
And then
FBI agents show up.
And also Orlando Ramirez shows up, played by Alejandro Rey. And this guy is...
He's a lawyer.
What nationality is he playing in?
He's Cuban.
Cuban. And he's Argentinian.
It's a melting pot.
It's a melting pot. You know, it almost is kind of like the fun bit of this movie, that no one's actually playing their nationality that they're supposed to be. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. And he's like, I'm an immigration lawyer and you guys can't touch him. He's claiming asylum in the States. Best fucking lawyer. Dude, mm-hmm. this guy goes to bed for him.
Yeah.
Does he pay him a nickel?
No.
I don't think he does.
He does it for free, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like, he's like, I'm very sympathetic that, you know, you're trying
to... He was an immigrant, too.
Yeah, he's an immigrant,
too. He took a raft from Cuba to Miami.
You're right. That's the story where he was like, I didn't defect. Like, we literally flew on a raft over the Atlantic Ocean to get here. And so they're able to basically, like, keep the KGB agents from apprehending him.
Yes.
So they usher everybody onto the bus. And Robert at this point is like, I think this is a good scene. Because he's like saying goodbye in Russian to all of his friends, including
his saxophone.
And his saxophone, who's on the bus.
And this was such a spur of the moment thing. He literally left his saxophone on the bus.
Just like the way he goes, like the Lionel. Is it Clevent? Am I saying the actor's name?
Clevent.
Clevent Derricks. And he's like, I defect. He's like, ma'am, I told you where the bathroom was.
Yeah.
He's like, no. I defect.
Yeah.
I think he's defecting. Really good. So then Robin, he's getting questioned by the FBI. It's like, do you know anybody here? And he's like, I know you guys.
Yeah.
He's like, well, where are you going to stay? And then, Clevent steps in. He's like, you can stay with me.
Yeah. Because Lionel respects like someone else who's trying to make it in America.
Yeah. And so he goes over to Lionel's place and is he's introduced to his whole family. His whole family's living in the apartment, Lionel's family. And there's one scene, there are two quick bits before we get montage-y. The first one, I think, is like he goes to the immigration office with Ramirez, and
he gets all of his paperwork. Set up,
says like, you're going to be here on a work visa, and then in a year you can
apply
for citizenship.
Because he's a like, it's not like normal immigration; it's asylum.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit of an expedited process.
Right,
seems like. But he's guided through the immigration process by an immigrant herself who's working the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just every single person who runs into this movie has an immigrant story.
Yes.
Not just the Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
But I just think that that's a really moving idea.
Yeah.
that he's being helped along by all these other people who've gone through the same journey he's going through.
Yeah. If they're not immigrants, then they're minorities.
It's about like the common thread they all share.
Yeah. And so then the next scene that I have is like he goes on a date with Lucia, the Italian cashier from the Bloomingdale's. And so they're dancing and he's being looked at by this guy and he clocks it. And so he goes to his lawyer who's there at the club with him. Say like fucking great lawyer. Yeah. He's like, who, there's a guy watching like, oh, him, he's FBI. He's actually here to protect you. And also to make sure you're not a KGB spy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. And then like, it feels like we're going through this movie quick, but like this does like, it's an hour and 55 minute long movie. I want to say we're like not quite halfway through yet. I think it's smart that the movie wants to get to like the business of him being in the States quickly.
He immediately develops a crush on Lucia,
yeah,
who he had hit with in the Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
And he asks her out on a date.
Yeah.
And so while Lionel kind of puts him up in his house with his family, where he meets Lionel's mother, father, sister, and grandfather, which is a mirror of Robin's living situation in Moscow, mm-hmm. the exact same family members.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Something that I think is worth pointing out that like Lionel's dad is unemployed.
Yeah.
And but he has a college education. But he's like struggling to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Robin gets like work almost instantly, right away. Another thing that it's like, it's another thing that this movie is doing, like, I think intentionally, like, where it's like, oh, like, it isn't quite as like sunshine and rainbows for everybody in America. Yeah. Like, it may sound
even though
like,
Robin's an immigrant, he has white skin.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he finds a lot of solidarity with the, with Lionel's family.
Yeah.
In part because they are just a mirror image of his family.
Yeah.
But between like his interactions with Lionel, Orlando, and Lucia, he starts like essentially building a life in America.
Yes.
He gets like six jobs.
Let's say in the movie, we're in montage land that's over the voiceover narration of him writing a letter to his family.
Yeah.
Which he says on the out of the gate, it's like, I don't even know if you're even going to be able to read this, but, and then he goes on to explain it. It's like, he got a job working as a busboy at a nightclub.
Busboy at a nightclub.
Which is a good, like, keep tap note of that. Yeah. We'll call back to that in a second.
McDonald's cashier. Sidewalk merchant. Sidewalk. Just like selling things on the sidewalk, like pens and whatnot. And limousine driver.
Yes. And so he gets an apartment of his own.
Yeah.
Which, like, look at the size of that fucking apartment in Manhattan.
Yeah.
1984.
And, like, this is very much kind of sold as him being like, look at all these jobs that I have.
Yeah.
But inversely, it's also working as, like, look at how many jobs this guy has to work to make it in America. Like,
right.
It's not all, to him, it's great in this moment because he has work, but it's in part just, like, showing the inverse problems with each system. America, a guy like this has to have four different jobs in order to make it.
Well, is it clear that he's working all these jobs consecutively or together?
It seems like he's working them all at the same time because otherwise he'd be like getting fired pretty regularly.
Well, like my view was like Orlando was getting a bunch of temp positions that he was working his way up and up and up. I'd say up and up and up, like slightly better pay scale. But I don't know. That was
I do
the
think
way
he says he has
it.
Like multiple jobs at the same time. Like he's also doing this.
Yeah. So then Lucia comes over to his apartment and they're like this. I'm at this part in the movie where it's like they're not starting a relationship per se.
Mm.
This is like she makes it very clear. It's like, all right, I'll stay the night with you, but don't get any ideas that this is anything more than just physical between us. Newsflash. It becomes more than physical.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, right. So they start a situationship, and Lucia's story is she immigrated from Italy, and she is on the cusp of getting her citizenship.
Yes.
There's multiple references that she's like studying for classes and
yeah,
like
she's
that.
Reading the book about like our American way of life.
Yeah. On an offshoot, just anecdotal little story here. Not too long ago, I actually had a friend who immigrated from Mexico. And I was also helping her study for the citizenship exam. Can you name me three rivers in America? obviously the Mississippi, Kentucky, yeah. Ohio, but like, I don't know. That was a bad example. There were some questions where I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, so anyway, that was just, something that
can you name all 50 states? I'm sure it's stuff like that.
I don't
that.
Know. It's like that crazy, but there is like, I think there's one, it's like name the first four presidents and, name all 10 of the Bill of Rights. Like, shit, like there's there's also a different section, like the social studies, geography, laws, civic duties, like in different sections and things like that. And yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a really like neat moment.
Yeah, that he's helping her with this.
I can't wait to talk about the actual like when they're like saying their oaths. Like,
and it's part of this thing that like immigrants understand and value this country in many ways a lot more than the rest of us do, because we take it for granted.
Right. Yeah.
But you're seeing like the process of immigrants, like the two of them working through it together.
Yeah. The first thing I could think of is like her citizenship, but there's a few things I'm skipping over.
It's just a lot of business.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I know like Robin has like moments where he's like dreaming of playing his saxophone again.
Yeah, he wants to play his saxophone again. He works a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
It's really just business.
Him and Lionel are still friends.
Yeah, him and Lionel are still friends. Lionel tells him that he has a son down in Alabama he hasn't seen in 5 years.
Yeah.
But then Lucia becomes an American citizen.
Oh, can we just shine a little light on this scene? This is a fucking great scene. Because, like, I don't know what immigrant citizenship ceremony looks like. I've never been to one.
Yeah.
If it's anything close to what this is, I have a feeling this is a little more romanticized, but maybe they do it like this. But Paul Mazursky, like it's so intentional on his part in what he wants the audience to see during the scene.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the primary subject of this scene is Lucia's character, who's saying her oath. Camera points to many different types of people who you've never seen before and never will see ever again, of all different nationalities and races. And it's a very, like, I like that. There is an underbelly to that scene.
Yeah.
And you tell me if this, like, pinged on your radar. Maybe I'm reading into it too much and it's not intended in the movie, but, like, there's a part where, like, as they're saying their oath, they say something to the degree, it's like, I disavow everything from, like, my past, like life, and I now am like full in solidarity and defense of the United States of America, blah, blah, blah. There's like a little moment where like maybe, and the camera even does like kind of cut to Robin's reaction to these lines too.
Well, I think what she says is more or less like, today you all become Americans. You are not your native,
you're not Russian American. You're not Italian American.
You're not like your former nationality, nor are you hyphenates. You are just Americans. You're not like Italian Americans. You're not Russian Americans. You are Americans.
Right. Yeah. And that was good.
Yeah.
I liked that bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that a ping on your radar? Like with what they were saying at all?
I think it's like
thing?
you leave behind what you used to be.
Yeah.
And Robin's character, Vladimir, is still towing both lines.
Yeah.
He still feels a pang of loss for the life that he had in Russia.
There is no scene in this movie where he gets his citizenship.
Yeah, no.
You can infer he does. But,
that will happen after the story.
Assumingly.
Yeah, unless like the KGB whacks him or something.
Well, I mean like maybe...
It'd be crazy if this movie ended with him getting whacked by the KGB.
Like obviously, I think in 1980, there's no route you could possibly take to have dual citizenship in Russia and America. But like, I don't know, there's an interpretation that I don't think is totally invalid that maybe he never takes his oath. Maybe he's just like, I'm just going to be here on a work visa.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is me like spitballing, but... great scene. I thought it was really well done. Moved me very much. And then afterwards, there's a celebration.
Yeah, they have a little party. And things go bad.
Because he is like, we should move in together.
Yeah.
And Lucia's like, no.
Yeah, she's an American now and wants to live like an American life.
Yeah.
And she's like kind of resistant to, in the same way that he's, you know, thinking about his past in Russia, she's
ready to leave the past behind.
Yeah, she's like toying with whether or not she wants to stay with him. And it basically results in that they break up.
Yeah.
They have a little argument. And he goes back home. He starts becoming disillusioned.
Yeah. Lionel.
Lionel also leaves at this point.
Well, there's a quick scene where Lionel brings him to a club. They invite him up to play saxophone. Oh, yes. And we don't see the result of it, but afterwards we just see them walking to the sidewalk and...
Well, Robin's messing up some of the play, the cues.
Oh, in the scene?
In the scene.
Okay, I didn't
quite... He's playing sax with this like kind of established sax guy.
Yeah, but for me it was like he... We cut to the sidewalk and he's like, I was terrible. And it's like, no, you weren't. He just said, like, just practice a little bit more. You're almost there. And he's like, I will never play saxophone again. Like, again, going to your point that he's like getting disillusioned with what he's supposed to do, what he's meant to do in the United States. He continues to play his saxophone, but he gets yelled at by neighbors. I thought that was kind of a funny scene.
That is funny. Because they're like, turn that shit off.
This is after, sorry, I jumped ahead a little bit. This scene is after he gets the letter that tells him his grandfather has died. Yeah.
And he wasn't there.
We've already spoke on this, but I think this is like the moment it's like a little bit more.
Yeah. He's feeling the pull.
Like, well, I'd say I wanted a little bit more, but
you want more because he just yells back at the guy basically.
Yeah. I just think even with him reading the letter of his grandfather passing away and the guy who delivered him the note, I think they said, like, I'm a friend of your family. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to give you this note. They share a quick little scene together, but not much that, like, meant anything. I just would have liked for that to have a little bit more weight to that little scene. Because you're right, the weight of that whole discovery is on him playing the saxophone by himself and getting yelled at by his neighbors. Because he, like, opens his window. It's like, it was a comedian, you asshole! Like, which is good. Robin's shirtless a lot in this movie.
Yeah, he's shirtless a lot. And he's getting pretty hairy. The situation's getting a little hairy, if you know what I mean. Harry Potter.
sorry. Wrong bit that I meant to...
Was Robin smoking weed at this time? Because he was a Harry Potter, if you know what I mean. Stuart, Harry Potter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Get this shit out of here.
Just paid my respects to Robin's chest hair.
Yes. But Lionel heads back to Alabama. Robin's grandfather dies and Lucia breaks up with him and he is alone.
Yeah.
He goes to like a Russian nightclub to try and ease his mind.
Yeah.
He comes back drunk and he gets mugged.
Yeah.
He like, they get away with his wallet, but he does like fight one of them.
Yeah. And he screams, I'm Russian. Russian.
And Orlando shows up and is like, what happened? He's like, they got away with my money, my ID.
Driver's license, Social Security, yeah.
And Orlando's like, well, that stuff's easy to, you know, get back. But
he makes note of like, but though they were just fully, kids.
Yeah, he's fully disillusioned at this point, basically, with America.
Yes.
Because he takes Orlando to a diner and is like, they were just kids. This country has its own problems. It's not better than Russia. It just has different problems than Russia.
Yes.
And that's basically like the fight or
this whole sequence is the rant the movie is cooking.
Yes.
I love this.
But then there's another guy in the diner who's another Russian defector.
Yeah.
Who's like, man up.
It's like, man up and go back to Moscow so you can stand in line for toilet paper.
Yeah.
And Robin, of course, is yelling back at him. You know what I like? It's like they're yelling at each other in Russian. And Robin is like, translating and then yelling back at him in Russian. Yeah. And then eventually he just stops translating. He's just yelling back and forth in Russian. And then Orlando turns to another guy who's also like Hispanic in some sense. And they're speaking Spanish to each other of like, what are they saying in Russian? But it's Spanish.
It's a very funny
scene. Then there's an Asian man like in the corner.
Yeah.
An Asian man, a Chinese, blah, 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 walking through a bar. And then eventually they hug it out.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry. Like,
and Robin kind of in this moment, the guy kind of recontextualizes for Robin, like, I have a lot of fortunes here and I have a lot of freedoms here that come with a price, but that I didn't have in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of recontextualizes for him. He's like, maybe I'm being a little too harsh on this.
And everybody else, like, kind of joins in on this too.
Yeah.
Like everybody in the diner who are all immigrants.
Because they all, you know, they've all had their moments of disillusionment, but are growing to love what they do have in America.
Yeah.
It's kind of the thesis of this scene. Very good.
I would love to, you know, I almost
You'd
feel,
love to be an immigrant?
No. not in this time. Not in this time and age. I would love to watch this with like an immigrant. Cause yeah. You and I have a very different perspective watching this movie. Like I don't think that's uncalled for to call out. And I would very much love to like hear from people who have immigrated to the States, whether it's through asylum or whether it's just to find a better life, like just to kind of get their personal take on it. Like maybe like someone will say like,
does this feel real?
I never had a disillusioned part of America. Like I bet that probably isn't true, but like, I don't know. Like I'm buying into everything this movie is telling me about the immigrant story, you know? But that's because I have no basis of that whatsoever. But I don't know. The movie feels earnest and honest enough. Yeah. This is a real Stewart movie.
This is a big Stewart movie. Is
it, right? Don't you think it is a big Stewart?
It doesn't have a lot of stuff about dads. So that's the one. The
grandfather passed away. That's a mega dad.
But it does not have, you know.
It's got the mega dad in this movie.
It doesn't have the end of Top Gun Maverick. One of the end scenes, that's what my dad would have done.
He's talking to Lionel's grandpa.
Yeah.
That's one that's of the end scenes. So it's got some dad energy to it. But no, it's the earnesty of this movie. It's like, you know, it creeps into my soul.
Robin goes back to his apartment after this.
There's a quick bit where he sees his grandfather and his mom. I think they're like illusions
before he gets mugged.
Oh yes.
This has already happened.
Yeah.
But he goes back to his apartment after, you know, getting it all out in the diner.
And Lucy is
Lucia's there. And she's like, I am not ready for marriage, but I would love to live with an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And the two of them kind of hug it out and things are becoming right in the world for, Vladimir.
We get voiceover narration of another letter he's writing, and he says that Lionel moved back to
New York
and has his old job
as a limo driver.
Limo driver. And then we cut back to the same shot of like where before it was Robin as a busboy carrying like dishes. We get that same like panning like dolly shot, only we don't see who the busboy is. And then we clear around a column in this club and it's Robin playing the saxophone.
Yeah. And he continued working on it. He's now good.
And he still does his day job, which is where he plays saxophone in the middle of like, it's not Times Square, but it's some kind of like New York Plaza.
I think it's Central Park.
Some kind of like New York Plaza in front of a lot of people where he says, and he's still working his day job. Mm-hmm. And movie just sits on that shot for a little
first
while.
He meets his former KGB handler.
Right.
The KGB handler who at the beginning was escorting the circus, he finds running a hot dog stand.
Yes.
At a plaza in New York. And he's like, oh shit, this guy's here to get me.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, I after we lost you,
I had to defect
as well.
Yeah.
And so he is also defect and he's very much like proud to be a New Yorker and sell hot dogs. He gives one to Robin and Robin bites it and says, best
hot dog in New York.
Yeah. And the guy's like free of charge. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. They both like kind of found their way.
Yeah.
And the movie does end with, like you said, with that image of him playing the sax.
It sits with that for a while.
And then it freeze frames and the sax music continues over the end credits.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite lovely. It's very a lovely little ending.
We forgot like, that there's a nice little tidbit cold open in this movie that we forgot, which is like, he's on a bus in New York. And I think it's a Russian immigrant sits next to Robin. He's like, is this the bus to get to 37? It's like, no, you're actually at the wrong place. But I'll tell you how. If you take this bus at 53rd and then cross over to the next line, that'll take you there.
Yeah.
And he's like, weird city, right?
Yeah.
Or weird country.
He's like,
this is a cold open and then it cuts back in time to Russia.
Yeah.
That's how the movie starts. But just wanted to mention that little cold bit. But yeah. Freeze frame, saxophone music, credits. Just like that.
That's exactly
that. That was really good. Exactly how he did it.
Thank you. But I think it's like, it's not a perfect movie, but it's like a perfectly lovely little movie.
Yeah.
It's the type of, you know,
Night on Earth energy.
I mean, Night on Earth's a little more.
I don't know about that. I spoke too soon on that, but yeah.
It's a movie I'm very happy to have watched and kind of enjoyed like spending time with.
Yeah.
It's a movie I enjoyed spending 2 hours with.
Yeah, me too.
Like just like a solid person who you enjoy having a conversation with.
Yeah. The movie comes out and it gets mostly good reviews.
Yeah.
I think one of the consensus is Robin Williams' affecting portrayal as a Russian immigrant at the center of its fish out of water story. The movie soars with an abundance of laughs and heart. The New York Times said the film isn't ill-conceived, rather it seems unfinished, not yet thought through, which I think that's more so painting along the picture of like convincing us like what it means for an immigrant to kind of fall out of love with the country. I think that's like a bit in the movie, the little struggles in, it kind of jumps to that, like the diner scene's so fucking good. But I think like if it spent a little more time like painting that sort of picture of why mm-hmm. he's becoming more, because you notice a lot of the things he's becoming disinterested in the country are things that would have happened anywhere, like him losing a girlfriend. It's not really particularly United States, right? And being bad at saxophone.
Yeah.
Is like all these things are like things that are happening to him when he's at the US. Yes. It's not the things that like about the US are like mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah, the major things are just universal troubles.
Yeah. But all in all, it gets pretty good reviews. It brings in a total I'm seeing about $25 million at the box office, a budget of $13 million. So it makes about double its budget. Which is, at the time is considered a pretty good small little success for a small little movie. I say that with a $10, $13 million budget back then. That's like a decently sized budget.
And I think most people kind of have the same view that we do of like, it's good. It's a nice little story.
Yeah.
There's nothing like particularly remarkable about it, but it's like a nice little story with some good ideas to chew on.
Right. And so Robin walks away from this movie. Again, like it's one of those things where I think if it's not like the biggest hit ever, Robin's going to see it as like a failure on himself.
Yeah.
So, but I do think like this sort of leads more credence into his serious acting capabilities. Becoming a very, what's the term I want to use? Empathetic character. He's like really filling into that, those shoes a little bit more. And audiences are starting to see it. So, I don't think I have much more thoughts to say.
It's just like it's early stage Robin, just another installment for him kind of building a repertoire of films.
Yeah.
Before he finally has his like big moment.
Yeah.
With Good Morning Vietnam. The one final bit of trivia about this movie is that the movie does get sued by the New Yorker because it plagiarizes a New Yorker cover for its poster.
Yeah.
Like when you look at it, This is the movie poster. You can see. Yeah. This is the cover of The New Yorker. It's just like straight up plagiarized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it gets sued. And of course, they award The New Yorker judgment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the studio, who is Columbia, paid him some money.
Yeah. Do you have any more final thoughts on Moscow on the Hudson?
This is the perfect example of why I like doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because this is a movie I would never have watched.
Right.
I would never watch this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as in like, I think it would be bad. Like, this is just not the type of movie I would wind up seeking out.
Yeah.
Nor is it the type of movie that like, if I saw it, you know, just on Netflix, I would probably click on. But because of us going through this, I got to experience this nice little thing that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And we hope that for our listeners that it encourages you all to do the same as well. Movies that you wouldn't have promptly seeked out for yourself, but that based on either our opinions of it or our conversation about it, that it encourages you guys to go look into these movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think like if you're a Robin Williams fan, I think this is like if you want to see like who he was like early in his career. Like this is a great like look into what like early Robin was attempting and doing and things like that.
Yeah.
I think I feel better about recommending this versus like Can I Do It or Popeye or Garp or Survivors.
Yeah, I would not recommend people seek out Can I Do It to any glasses.
No, I probably wouldn't do that. if you liked this episode, don't forget to rate, review, like, and subscribe. Always remember that if you're driving down the highway and you see a few restaurants, never pick the White Castle. And special thanks to Rebecca for graphic design. And Michael Van Bergen Smith for the amazing theme music that's now taking you out. Next week, join us in 1986 for The Best of Times. Two-hander
and it
with
will
Robin
be.
and Kurt Russell.
And it will be the best of times.
It will be.
Have a great week, folks.